Welcome to episode number 13 of The Art of Med School, where we help creative minds understand medicine. This episode, we're talking about the adrenal glands, supplemental study aids, and deep face circulation.
Talk about adrenal glands?
Yeah, but we didn't really finish.
Oh, okay. So this is like part two. Adrenal glands.
Part two. Yeah, no, we talked about quite a bit of stuff, but I mean, obviously we're not like covering everything there is to know about adrenal glands
either. Oh, I won't be an adrenalologist.
Adrenalologist?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like an adrenalologist is actually like... That's more of a marketing term given to, by, like, Red Bull for people who...
Oh, sure. You know, are so hardcore.
Yeah, they're into the adrenaline.
Mm-hmm.
It's
not a very good marketing term because nobody can say it.
So, just to recap real quick, we talked about the adrenal gland, and we talked about that it lives on top of the kidney and all the blah, blah, blahs. It's got the cortex around the outside, the... medulla on the inside, the cortex. We had the three zones: zona glomerulosa, zona fasciculata, and zona reticularis. So we talk about how glomerulosa is salty mineral corticoids that release aldosterone. Fasciculata releases sugar, so like glucocorticoids, like cortisol to help with blood sugar regulation. And then the reticularis is sex, so like weak androgens, things that can be converted to testosterone or estrogen, that sort of thing. So, now we are going to talk about things that can go wrong in the cortex.
Okay. I don't know. I was trying to think of core, hardcore.
I was waiting for a pun or something.
I'm a little slow today.
So loss of both adrenal glands, because you, remember you have two, one on top of each kidney. Yeah. So that leads to something called hypoadrenalism, which for the students out there, that makes like that word should be pretty easy.
Yeah.
Hypo means low.
Low.
Adrenal means adrenal.
Yeah.
And ism means
syndrome of.
Yeah, I mean, it's a thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what happens is we lose the secretion of all of our cortical hormones.
I'm just confused on how you lose both of them.
On how you... Well, you really want to get into it?
Not really.
Okay. So we'll say it shortly that it could be a nerve damage in, you know, the nerve that stimulates the adrenal glands. It could be they're stimulated by different hormones. And so, you know, maybe there's a loss of those hormones. And so you lose the adrenal function
so
because they're not getting stimulated.
So something other systemic problem.
Yeah. It could also be, you know, you got kidney punched real, real bad on both sides at once.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. So the loss of the secretion of all cortical hormones, that's something called Addison's disease. And what it leads to is there's...
It sucks to be Addison.
Right?
Every time.
Why, here's this horrible syndrome I've discovered. I'm going to name it after myself. Why would you do that? I don't get it. So it gives you weakness, tiredness, hyperpigmentation.
Oh.
Yeah. And it's usually not like a good hyperpigmentation. Like, you know, like hyperpigmentation. I could look tan all the time. No, it's more like splotchy. And,
oh, gross.
Yeah, and it's a bad way to get tan anyhow. Postural hypotension. So depending on if you're sitting up straight or not, you could be hypotensive. Your blood pressure could drop depending on your posture. Hypovolemia. So, like, the volume of your blood, the water amount in your blood goes really low. Low blood sodium. I mean, tons of bad stuff. So that's not enough adrenal gland work, basically, mm-hmm. hypoadrenalism. But there's also too much. You
sure.
can have excess secretion. So too much would be hyper.
Hyper, sorry.
Yeah, hypo was too low.
Hyper.
Yep, so hyperadrenalism. Is excess secretion of basically one or more of any of those aforementioned hormones that are released by the adrenal gland. So usually we see this as glucocorticoids, which make something called Cushing's syndrome. And I feel like that's probably, I think most people have at least heard of that, even if they don't know what it is.
No.
Oh, okay. So one of the things you get with that is like weight gain, Have you moon face? Like, a real round face? Yeah, I know it sounds terrible, but moon face.
It sounds
face.
Super racist.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I wasn't thinking racist. I was thinking, like, I mean, there are certain things. Oh, shoot, what is it? There is a birth deformity that one of the symptoms is, they call it gargoylism.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's bad.
That's
in the same
bad,
way that
yeah.
moon face is. Or there's cretinism. You know,
yeah.
The term mongoloid is still,
I know,
it's still used scientific, like it's in some of the scientific naming. So sometimes it, you know, this hyperadrenalism can be the mineral corticoids. So that's excess aldosterone that produces something called Kahn's syndrome. So now where Addison's disease was too little, now we have too much. Of like the same sort of stuff being released. So we're hypertensive, we have low blood potassium, so hypokalemia, headache, blurred vision, things like that. And so all this excess production can be from a tumor, would be, you know, I don't know, do you know how tumors work?
I can't wait to learn about that on a different podcast.
Okay, that's fair.
Right. I feel like that's just a whole another bag of chips.
Yeah, I mean, so the basic, let me just give the basic as far as why it makes sense for a tumor to be
okay.
Hyperadrenalism. So a tumor is just made out of cells that didn't learn when to stop
making
developing.
Babies.
Yeah, making babies. So a tumor can be of any kind of tissue.
Right.
A tumor of the adrenal glands.
Could be too many adrenal glands.
Yeah.
Cells.
And they're the ones that are secreting.
Oh,
so
sure,
they just
yeah.
keep
no,
secreting,
that makes sense.
Secreting. Yeah. So that's like a pretty common source of hyper a lot of things, you know. Okay, so let's go into the actual medulla. The medulla, so we had the cortex going around. If you remember, we said that it looked kind of like the Rocky Horror Picture Show lips.
Yes.
So the cortex is the lips. The teeth area, or the mouth area, I guess, is the medulla. So on the inside, it's like a bunch of like polyhedrals or like kind of geometric looking cells in cords or like clumps with all these reticular fibers in between. They have chromaffin cells, which end up giving them like a brown coloration when they're stained. And they release catecholamines.
Ooh.
I know that it's kind of a
catecholamine.
Hormone, right? So that's like a class of hormones. And the catecholamines that these release are epinephrine and norepinephrine.
Oh, yes.
So adrenaline.
Those ones are fun.
Yeah. Adrenaline and noradrenaline. And also tiny bits of dopamine.
Ooh, that's all. Oh, all the fun ones.
All the good ones. So these secretions are in a large part a response to like intense emotional reactions.
No, I love you so much.
That's where your adrenaline is going because yeah. we're sitting next to each other.
You're giving me moon face. Just kidding.
No, that doesn't sound.
No, that doesn't sound cute. Okay, keep going.
All right, so intense emotional reaction. You know, we talk about like sympathetic nervous system, this whole like fight or flight response.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that is in the adrenal medulla. So norepinephrine and epinephrine kick out. Like we get like vasoconstriction, so all of our blood vessels tighten up. So our blood pressure goes up. So we have hypertension. Changes in heart rate. It beats a little bit faster. And then we also have metabolic effects like elevated blood sugar. And all that is in preparation for some sort of like
Event,
yeah. You're ready to fight or flight.
When the Kraken comes from the sea.
Yeah. Actually, you know, there was an interesting study done where there's tons of holes in it, but they had all these like 20-something-year-old college kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they showed one set pictures of people, and they rated them, like people of their sexual preference, and they rated them on how attractive they thought they were. All these people were scoring like 5s, 6s, you know.
Sure.
Average. And then they did it to a different group that went bungee jumping first.
Uh-huh.
And then after they got done bungee jumping, like shortly after they got back up, they showed the same pictures, and everybody started ranking 8s and 9s.
Hmm.
So is that like adrenal rush
yeah.
mixed with like love? And one of the things that it made me think is this explains why so many people go to like spring break and then get knocked up.
Huh?
Because you go you go to a big party and your adrenaline is going, and then you meet someone who maybe not all that attractive to you, but your adrenaline is going.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So, like, your standards lower.
Sure. And your blood alcohol level is also higher.
Yeah.
So.
Right. So it kind of makes, like, yeah, I can see that. So. Anyway, yeah. I'd say that's pretty good on the adrenal gland.
Yeah, get it. Make sure you check us out on artofmedschool.com. We have a ton of more information, blog posts, any of our past episodes that you might have missed, as well as some really fun underwater photography that Mike has been working on. There's some cute photos of fish. So check us out on artofmedschool.com. All right, Mike. So you study.
Once in a while.
Yeah. So what was kind of a surprise to me is that you studied not just what is taught in your classes or not just the material covered in your classes. You've got, like, this whole other level, this whole other, like, side job of studying that's not school studying.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah. So my study plan is based off of, like, what tests and whatnot I have coming up. But I do supplement that a lot with other material.
So, yeah. So there are these two supplemental study aids that you use. But there's a ton, right?
Oh, my God. There's so much money being made in trying to help people get through med school.
Yeah.
And everybody has a different opinion. Everyone... Yeah, which makes sense because everyone learns differently.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like a prep course, like a 6-week prep course for the STEP, the licensing test. Those can easily run into the $6,000-$7,000 range.
Jeez, after you've already paid so much for school.
Yeah, yeah, and that has nothing to do with your tuition or anything.
Yeah,
Or taking the STEP.
So these are two study aids that you use that you do in tandem with your regular studying.
Yeah, so I do...
Or it wouldn't be tandem because...
That's in correlation.
There's third and tertiary and...
Tertiary?
I don't know.
So we had like a year between when I found out I was getting into med school to when we actually started, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I did a ton of research during that downtime.
Yeah.
Because I'm a huge nerd. And I did a bunch of trial versions of things and whatnot. And the two that I landed on, because you also have to limit yourself because they are expensive. The two that I landed on were Picmonic and Firecracker.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about each of them. I mean, I know a little bit about each of them.
So kind of the way I split it up is that I wanted something to help me learn concepts and something to help me to cement details. Picmonic is a... It's sort of like a flashcard type thing.
I mean, it stands for a picture mnemonic.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like visual mnemonics. So, what's a good example? So an easy one would be you're learning the bones of the skull,
uh-huh.
Right? And they'll show you a picture and tell you a little story about an octopus fighting a pirate, and that octopus is defending a temple that is full of seafood, and the front of the pirate ship breaks off, and he lands face first in the ocean, and because his mouth was open, he eats mud.
Right.
Yeah, like, sit down, it's totally word. But the way it's laid out is on a skull, and the octopus represents the occipital bone. The pirate is the parietal bone. The temple is the temporal bone. Seafood is the sphenoid, frontal bone, front of the pirate ship, and eating mud is the ethmoid.
Uh-huh.
Right?
I like this because it's very punny.
Yeah, yeah, and it's totally weird. And, you know, there's... Some that are really sick in your head, and
some that don't do that good of a job.
Yeah, but what's cool is I can go in and I don't love the way that it's organized as far as where all the picmonics are, but for the most part, it's pretty good. So I can log in, I learn the picmonics that I've covered that cover the same material that I covered that week in class, and then every day it serves me quizzes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you know, based on the material that you've done.
So, yeah, so only the ones that, only the picmonics that I've done then get served to me on a quiz.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like the idea of this one.
Yeah, yeah, I like it quite a bit. The downsides are that it's not a ton of detail. It's more just general concepts on things.
Sure.
I think they serve you too many questions every day. Like, I missed yesterday because we had the day off, and I took the tried to take the entire day off. And so now I've got, like, 700 to go through.
Jeez.
And so I spent a lot of time on Picmonic, and it's not necessarily the most high-yield thing.
Oh, okay.
You know? So then the other one I have is Firecracker. And Firecracker is pretty cool because it's much more the detail that Picmonic doesn't have.
Sure. So it sounds like a good balance.
Yeah, and that's why I picked both of them, you know. So Firecracker, very similar. I can go in and, you know, I cover this subtopic of the cranium in anatomy class, and I flag saying, hey, I've covered this.
I should know this.
Yep.
Quiz me on this.
Yeah, and so then every day it serves me about 150 questions based off of just the stuff that I've learned.
Mom.
And both of them serve me questions using spaced repetition. So if I get something right, it'll play it for me again or serve it to me again maybe the next day, and I get it right again, it'll wait like 3-4 days.
Oh.
And then if I get it right again, it'll wait like a week and a half, 2 weeks.
Yeah, 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 to make sure that it's really going into your long-term memory as opposed to just you're not just cramming all of the information
in
there.
Yeah, and so it'll keep reserving those things and making sure that I don't forget. The other thing that's really cool about Firecracker is that it has cases, so I can whatever subset I can log in, and then it'll actually serve me a vignette, which is much more like the way that a question will be presented on a test.
Oh, okay. Oh, so when you say cases, it's like a patient scenario.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Instead of just what is the most common, you know, what is the most common blood vessel for epidural hematomas. Like, that's just a regular...
I just don't know.
It's middle meningeal. But that's just a regular question. In a case, they'll present you with someone who has an epidural hematoma and then give you a bunch of vital signs or whatever and then say, okay, which of these is most likely to be the cause of that? But the point is to help you start figuring out how to answer those questions. So
yeah.
The other thing that's really cool, I got a big anatomy exam coming up. I can, they have anatomy exams in there, so like I can sit down and I've got practice exams I can do, yeah. And at the very, very end, when I go to do my dedicated step, and this is my favorite part, this is why I went with Firecracker, because I think it's really good all the way through, but the reason I went with Firecracker is when I go for my dedicated prep for the step, for the licensing test.
Sure.
Based off of my history of answering questions, how I've done in what areas, all of my strengths and all of my weaknesses, I put in the date I'm going to take my test, the score that I want to get, and it gives me a customized study plan to make sure I get that score.
Whoa, that is cool.
That's totally worth all the money right there, I think.
So about how much did you pay for each of them?
They were both about $400, but I got them both for multiple years.
Okay.
So, like, Firecracker has help all the way through step 2 and 3.
Okay.
In fact, even in their practice exam areas, they have, like, I want to go emergency med. They have emergency med practice exam. Surgery practice exam. I mean,
quite
a bit of stuff. So, I mean, if you're going to med school, I would seriously consider budgeting about $1,500 in extra study material.
That's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money. It's not a lot of money compared to your tuition.
Sure, but, you know, usually you're getting some sort of, you know, outside help for that.
Yeah.
But that's a $1,500 that you feel like, I have to pay for that myself.
All mine was blood money. But how I paid for all these additional supplemental stuff, I literally went, I don't even know how many days I missed. Like, I probably missed a total of 3 weeks in that year of downtime. That I was at the plasma donation center twice a week donating, and then I collected all that money, and that was how I paid for my school supplies.
I think that there's something poetic about that, paying for paying for that with your blood.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, so supplemental study aids. There you go. We launched our Patreon account. Please go check it out. You can find a link on our website or just look up Art of Med School on Patreon.com. This is a great way to support us as we work hard to make the most and best content possible. You can find more information on our homepage at artofmedschool.com. And every little bit helps. Thanks.
Okay, so I'm totally going back for a second, though, before we start this next topic. The thing I really should have mentioned about both, actually, Firecracker and Picmonic,
uh-huh,
is that the strength is I've been using them since day one.
Sure.
You don't want to wait and then try and find additional stuff to help you in that last, like, semester or whatever.
To be able to be doing both of them in tandem the whole time.
Yep. It's such a, not even necessarily those, just whatever you go with, start right away prepping for the step, because it's a total marathon.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Thanks for the tip.
Yeah. So, deep face circulation.
Okay.
Okay, so, you know, your face is, like, incredibly complex, right?
Yeah.
Tons of muscles.
You have to make a lot of movements.
Yeah, I mean, especially, like, all those, and all those weird movements, like pursing your lips for a kiss.
Mwah.
You know, elevating one side of your lip and lowering the other side.
Yeah, doing the Elvis.
Yeah, but you remember how we talked about that muscles can pretty much only contract?
Yeah, they can only pull.
Yeah, so...
And you can't push a rope.
No, but the reason I'm saying it is that because your muscles can pretty much only pull, you have to have muscles that pull your face in all those different directions.
Sure.
And when you think about how much you can move your lips and your eyebrows around, like, that's a lot of muscles then that have to, you know, a lot of directions of fibers. And so it needs a variety of innervation and a lot of complex blood. Not that the blood flow is a lot, but there's a lot of places that blood needs to flow to. You know what I mean? Like, there's a kind of a complex network of arteries and veins in order to make sure that you're...
They all go in your face.
Yeah, for all those muscles. So we divide the blood flow into two layers, superficial and deep. And today we're going to talk about the deep. But put your finger on your carotid. You know where your carotid is?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so it's right about where your jaw joint, like right at that angle, we call it. That's where your carotid is and goes up. And right at the actual joint is where it branches.
Okay.
And it becomes superficial temporal and internal maxillary. Superficial temporal goes up into, I mean, it's...
The temple area.
Yeah, the temple area, and it's superficial, so it's more towards the outside. You know where your maxillary is?
Isn't that like your teeth, the upper teeth?
Yeah, like upper teeth and kind of your cheek area. So that's like
I was going to guess that before you were pointing at it on your face, by the way.
Oh, okay.
I think.
You think?
Mm-hmm.
So that's internal. So your internal maxillary is what gives blood to most of your deep muscles. And that's split into three parts. It the first part gives off a branch, like, shortly after it starts, so shortly after that jaw joint, and that becomes the middle meningeal artery. That, so we're going back, right? And that enters the skull via the foramen spinosum and gives blood to the dura. And I totally just realized that we had talked about this artery earlier, and I had not, like, I did not plan this. But it's a common cause of epidural hematomas.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
So the brain bleeds and stuff.
Yeah.
Like that. It also gives off the inferior alveolar artery, which does, like, the lower jaw's teeth, and it goes on to help the chin. And the chin area is called the mentalis, and you have a mentalis muscle,
uh-huh,
and there's the mental foramen where the mental artery and nerve and vein come out.
Okay.
And I just have not figured out the origin of the word mental.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because I when I think mental, I don't think mental like chin.
Yeah.
But that's what it means. So
yeah,
that's on my list of things to figure out. All right, so the second part of the internal maxillary is deep temporal arteries, anterior and posterior. So I already gave up the superficial one. You got two more that go up from the second part of your maxillary artery. It goes towards the front and the back. Also gives your buccal artery, you know where your buccinator is?
No.
Your cheek. Oh. So puff out your cheeks and then push all that air out. So that action, pushing the air out, that's your buccinator contracting.
Hmm.
And it's technically a muscle of facial expression, which doesn't entirely make sense. It seems like it should be muscle of like, eating. Because we split between facial expression and mastication. But that's the buccinator.
Hmm.
What else? Pterygoid branches. Do you know what your pterygoids are?
No.
There's the medial pterygoid and the lateral pterygoid. So this is the blood flow to those. And those are muscles. The medial pterygoid and the lateral pterygoid are two of the muscles of mastication. The lateral pterygoid is the only muscle in your body that lowers your jaw.
Wow.
Yeah. So it allows you to open against resistance, but it's the only one that'll do that.
Huh.
Which is interesting, I thought. Okay, so then finally the third branch is, or the third part of the internal maxillary. One branch is the sphenopalatine artery, and that enters the sphenopalatine foramen, so that goes towards the middle of your, the sphenoboid, the bone is like in the middle of your skull.
Oh yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah, it's where the cella turcica and the pituitary gland sits. That also is used to supply the middle of the nose and is a big part of Kieselbach's plexus, but that's for the med students out there.
Mm, okay.
But the Kieselbach plexus, though, I should mention, it's often the arteries that are bleeding in a nosebleed.
Oh, okay.
There's also infraorbital, so underneath your eye, that artery. And then the middle and anterior superior alveolar arteries, which are off of that infraorbital artery. And that's just a little bit about the blood flow of the face.
Bloody face.
Deep blood flow.
All right, there you have it. We had adrenal glands part two, supplemental study aids, and blood flow to your face. Our theme music, Urbanimatronica Wu Ya Mix by Spinning Morcana, is copyright 2011, licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution License. This show is not affiliated or endorsed in any way by St. James School of Medicine. Micah just goes there. The Art of Med School podcast is part of the Art of Med School Network. For more information, find us on the web at artofmedschool.com.